Hello, my name is Dr. Joe Rubino, and I'm the CEO of the Center for Personal Reinvention and the author of theselfesteembook.com. And I'm here today to speak briefly about the link between lacking self-esteem and the state of unrest in our world today. You know, conservatively speaking, more than 85% of the world's people suffer from diminished self-esteem in one or more areas of their lives. Self-esteem, by definition, is the quality of being competent and being able to cope with whatever life's challenges might come down the road so that we can be happy, fulfilled, and productive and deal with whatever problems might exist. Most people suffer from multiple areas where their self-esteem is not where it needs to be for them to lead happy, effective, and productive lives. Whenever a high self-image is lacking, pain is present and the quality of life is dramatically diminished. What's more, like a cancer growing out of control, this lack of self-worth will eventually infect the rest of the person's life who suffers from diminished self-esteem. And the worst part about this whole thing is that it's often invisible to the person suffering from a low self-image. Lack of self-esteem is a silent killer. It damages relationships, it steals a person's life energy, it thwarts one's potential, and it dulls the glow of life. Through my research as a life optimization coach over the last 14 years, it's become obvious to me that self-esteem challenges are the number one cause of lost joy, resignation, chronic upset, and settling for less than one is truly worth. Most people suffer from these despondent feelings all too often, and a low self-image exerts the most damage in areas marked by high emotional involvement. Some of these might include interacting with other people, dating, bringing up children, overcoming shyness and feelings of timidity, pursuing a career, working with others in a business setting, speaking in public, and many more. Low self-esteem is the primary cause of conflicts, ineffective communication, negative emotions, broken relationships, and it's a source of divorce and even wars. High self-esteem, to the contrary, is the prerequisite for fulfillment, for happiness and accomplishment in life, and for developing respect and empathy for others. Those with high self-esteem take responsibility for making their lives work. It's necessary for self-motivation and really having a positive expectation that everything will work out for the best, so that whatever problems one might face, you have the ability to overcome them. You know, you really must love yourself in order to be able to love others. And those with low self-esteem are often associated most with criminal behavior, with drug and alcohol addiction, violence, eating disorders, school dropouts, low socioeconomic status, aggressive and egotistical behavior, as well as harmful interactions with others. Most often, the damage to our self-esteem takes place at an early age when our psyches are young and fragile, usually between the age of 0 and 6 years old, but possibly as late as 12 years of age. We buy into what someone says or does, or actually we make something up and reinterpret what they said as we ourselves being somehow unworthy and not good enough. Maybe we decide that we're unlovable, or we decide that there's something wrong with us, and we must now view our lives as flawed, and we have to live in the best way that we can from this flawed perspective. Then when the next stressful incident occurs, we've already been wounded and confused, and we see each subsequent happening as more proof that further reinforces our belief that we're somehow unworthy or unlovable. And then we go on to look for more and more evidence that this must be the case with every subsequent challenge that we encounter. Before we know it, there's absolutely no doubt remaining in our minds that there absolutely is something wrong with us, that we're defective, we're unlovable, we're not good enough in some way. So it starts with an observation that we don't measure up, we judge ourselves harshly that we don't belong, and then we act upon these assumptions. Early on in life, we buy into or we misinterpret what someone said or did in a way that has us think that we're flawed, unworthy, and unlovable. By deciding that we don't measure up, we see the world now from this perspective. And so a vicious cycle begins to be created that constantly reinforces this sense of worthlessness for us. We compare ourselves to others and we find that we're inadequate. And this becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where we actually get what we expect. We expect to have pain and suffering and not to be good enough, and that's exactly what we produce. We label ourselves as unworthy and unlovable, and this causes us pain. And this pain results in us in proceeding in two likely scenarios. The first is to try to avoid further pain, And to do so, we withdraw from life. We avoid communication. We avoid interacting with others, and we avoid risk. We might give up on our dreams and lower our expectations to avoid being hurt or disappointed. And this might mean settling for less or justifying our actions to protect us from further harm. This often leads to our resignation and the death of our spirit. It's a loss of vitality that causes a continued worsening of our self-opinion. Now, the other likely scenario is that we react angrily to the world for not loving us and for not holding us as worthy, as valuable. And when we do so, we can adopt an I'll show you type reaction where we attempt to prove our worth. And this is often by proving that we're better than and superior to others. We might seek to dominate others and to avoid being dominated. And we act from anger rather than love. When all of this happens, we continue to spread unrest, discord, hatred, and more pain and suffering. And again, it becomes a vicious cycle where the more pain we create for ourselves and for others, the more anger that we have, and the more that we're just determined to get back at the world for treating us poorly. So we wonder why there's a lack of peace and harmony in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Now, low self-esteem can actually penetrate all aspects of our lives, or it can be confined to one or more areas where we feel inadequate. Our smallest mistakes often get magnified, and we think that everyone finds us as inadequate as we find ourselves. We judge ourselves to be inferior. We blame ourselves for everything that goes wrong. The harder that we strive for perfection, the worse we actually feel, because we amplify our weaknesses. We judge ourselves as being flawed. We then alienate ourselves, and we damage our relationships. And of course, we never measure up. We seek perfection. And of course, because we're imperfect beings, there's no achieving that perfection. And all of this continues to justify our low self-opinion, where we're on this treadmill trying to prove that we're something that we can just never accomplish. We often diminish our self-esteem in such ways that we create this vicious cycle, and the access out of this vicious cycle is only that we ourselves are able to restore our self-esteem. And freedom really comes from not being attached to what other people think about us. Now, low self-esteem has many detrimental effects that can lead to diminished peace in our world. Those who feel poorly about themselves often funnel their anger toward others. This might become cruel. They might seek to repay others for their inner pain. As they hold themselves as unlovable, they strike out in anger and often seek revenge against the world because they see that the world holds themselves as flawed. They see themselves as being powerless to attract love and to get what they want and what they need in the world by supporting others to win and to prosper. As a result, they often resort to any means at their disposal where they can control others and they can dominate them. Now, this false feeling of power gives people a sense of force, a sense of being powerful, but any power that is exerted through force is often short-lived. And the more that those with low self-esteem seek to manipulate others to gain control over their lives, the more that they create anger, that they oppose people and create hatred in the world because of their hostile actions. And because of all of this, the worse their own self-image becomes. So this vicious cycle results, bringing them less peace, less harmony, and less cooperation with everyone around them. Because those with self-esteem that's lacking see the world as a place of scarcity, they become possessive. They think that they must compete for the world's limited resources. And as a result, they resort to coercion, to intimidation, to manipulation, and to force to get their way. And again, this sort of way of acting and reacting to the world by controlling others typically means that you get resistance and you get control in response when you act that way. A good example is that of a bully. The actions of bullies are all sourced in low self-esteem. Bullies actually bully others in order to hide their own weaknesses and their own inadequacies. And they look to divert attention away from their own incompetence and their feelings of worthlessness by picking on others. They feel poorly about themselves, and they seek to take out their anger on others that they seek to dominate. It gives the bully a temporary feeling of power and a feeling of being superior to the ones that they're dominating. And of course, people or countries can act as bullies with respect to those that they can control and manipulate. But this whole bullying mentality is based on force, and of course it's lacking love. So it does little to make the person who feels poorly about himself feel better, because it constantly reinforces this low self-opinion, because you don't get love in return when you put out hatred. Now, as we look at history, there's countless examples of how rulers with low self-esteem sought to dominate others and feel powerful and worthy instead of being powerless and not good enough. The prevalence of certain men of small stature in history, many of these men with really fanatical military accomplishments, is well documented. Everyone from Julius Caesar to Napoleon to Hitler to Stalin were all men that were determined to prove that they were big men and they suffered from an inferiority complex. Hitler, for example, did what he did because of low self-esteem. Because he didn't love himself, how could he love others? Those like Hitler spread their self-hate to the world, and so they get hatred back in return. After World War I, Germany fell to an all-time low, both economically and politically. Many of the German people were unemployed. The government was broke. There was a feeling of helplessness all around. And Hitler actually took advantage of the German people's low self-esteem and saw it as a way that he could increase his power over them, and he could use this feeling of hopelessness to better himself and to elevate how he felt about himself and to increase his personal power through force and manipulation and coercion and fear. Saddam Hussein is another modern-day example of how a person of low self-esteem can have little regard for the lives of others. It's impossible to feel good about yourself and value others while permitting mass atrocities to take place as Saddam Hussein has done. It's well documented that Kim Jong-il of North Korea, for example, had experienced a sense of loss and a damaged self-esteem in his early childhood. He forever tried to compensate for these feelings in order to regain his father's affection, and that's well documented. And he actually succeeded in becoming recognized for his political ability, and this gave him some sense of self-worth. However, he overcompensated for his feelings of low self-esteem by actually removing his political enemies. And as a result, he became more hated, more feared, and more despised by those that he sought to exert coercion over. He's also an example of how low self-esteem can affect people to do things that really show their lack of self-worth. He teases his hair, for example, in an attempt to look taller because he suffers from feeling poorly about himself because of his height. Again, we see the same pattern of hatred that's based on domination of those who are weaker and more vulnerable in a hope that the person can feel stronger about who they are, more powerful, better able to dominate others. And this obsession that he has with nuclear power, for example, is based on his desire to control others while really feeling powerless at his core. You have to look at the world situation today and wonder, what must the self-esteem of the terrorist who blows himself or herself up on a crowded bus be to have such hatred for others and to be willing to kill hundreds of innocent people just to get even, just to exert control because the person feels so helpless, so unable to control others or to exert influence in a way that is with love and with support. Those with low self-esteem are really at the effect of their negative self-talker. And this negative self-talker is, you know, that little voice on our shoulder that we all have. And that voice's job is to protect us from risk, to keep us safe, and to really keep us on the treadmill of forever trying to do better and become worthy. The negative self-talker typically does this in two ways. The first way is by having you sell out your dreams, resigning yourself to playing small and safe, by avoiding new situations that might prove hurtful to you. The other way is to have you so driven to prove him wrong about how unworthy you are that you constantly strive to become perfect. You strive to show how good you are. You strive to prove that you're worthy and lovable and good enough. And there's no peace in this scenario because you're forever trying to achieve a perfection that's just impossible to attain. So if you look at the two ways to deal with the negative self-talker, one is to manage these interpretations aggressively. And what I mean by that is to separate out the mistaken ideas about what you're telling yourself about how you're unworthy, how you're unlovable. Replace them instead with new interpretations that support you. The other way is to actually replace the negative self-talk with affirmations and acknowledgments, looking for the good instead of the dirt, looking for your strengths instead of your weaknesses, looking for the ways that you do things good in the world, the things that you're to be acknowledged for instead of the things that you're to be reprimanded for. It's often helpful to get to the source of one's feelings of unworthiness by looking at our earliest childhood events that one can recall where there was an upset or where a child originally felt unlovable or not good enough. oftentimes in our childhood, someone said or did something that has us make up that we're not good enough, that we're unlovable, or that we're unworthy. For many of us, this triggers a mood of anger. Let's speak for a moment about this mood. It's an automatic emotional response, and we typically have three areas that we respond emotionally to in reaction to what people say and do. The first is anger, and that's the most prevalent one. Another is sadness, and the third is fear. All of these emotions, but especially the one of anger, are the red flags that tell us that we need to pay attention here, that something is going on that we're not seeing clearly, that there's a misinterpretation going on that's leading to our diminished self-esteem. Now, there's a vicious cycle that continues into the future time after time when we let our interpretations get the best of us. When we look at words or events that cause us to feel poorly about ourselves and believe that the criticism that others place on us might be true. Our self-esteem drops when we see the next episode from the eyes of one who thinks that there's something defective about us. And it deepens the more and more it becomes reinforced over time when episode after episode occurs where we take what happened, where someone said or did something, and we interpret that there has to be something wrong with us because of how people are responding to us. Again, this often makes us angry and oftentimes violently angry. And this oftentimes can lead to antisocial behavior. It can lead to repercussions where people lash out. And of course, as you become arrogant and try to conceal your insecurity, it just worsens it. Or the opposite is you might become meek. You might become a doormat or a people pleaser. Or maybe you seek to dull the pain with alcohol or drugs or some other addiction. Oftentimes, as an indication of the lack of peace in our world, we lash out in anger at those that we feel are prosecuting us or not loving us or taking advantage of us. And so we look to get revenge. And of course, revenge and hatred just is a process where we throw fuel on the fire and it creates more of the same. And it leads to a continued deterioration of our relationships and a continued cause of the disharmony in the world. So what is the way out of this vicious cycle? It's first to recognize when we're in that mood of anger, or for some people that's a mood of sadness or fear. When we can recognize that emotion and we can actually recreate a new interpretation that's mood-free about what happened, what someone said or did, that will recreate our future in a way that restores our self-esteem more and more as we do this repeatedly. We keep these moods of anger and sadness and fear in place, much like a heroin addict does, because we're actually addicted to these emotional responses. These moods both keep us churning in the drama cycle of life. They're familiar, they're comfortable, they make us right, and they make us feel as though others are wrong. They allow us to feel like we're dominating others because we're angry, and so we feel a sense of power. They allow us to feel like we can avoid being dominated. They also make us a victim. We get to feel sorry for ourselves when people take advantage of us, and we get angry at that. And so we lash out at them, and then we get to justify our actions, and we get to attract pity for ourselves, and we get to attract the sympathy of others when we suffer. We also use low self-esteem to explain and justify why we can't reinvent our lives, why we can't achieve the things that we want to achieve, and why we can't act boldly because, of course, when someone's doing things to us, it can't be our fault. Again, I want to stress the fact that our research shows that more than 85% of the world's population suffer from some form of diminished self-esteem. And so it's no wonder why there's a lack of peace throughout the world. Lacking self-esteem is really pervasive in all aspects of people's lives, or in many cases and with many people, it can be situational. In other words, it's more prevalent in some areas than in others. Those lacking self-esteem experience feelings like being unworthy or unlovable. Maybe they have the nagging thought that they're constantly not good enough. They often suffer from a subtle but uncontrollable fear of failure, so they're afraid to risk. They procrastinate because they're afraid of making a mistake, even when they know that things should be a priority for them. Oftentimes, they actually live with this lingering guilt, and the guilt is that they should have done something better. They should have acted. They should not have acted in a certain way, perhaps. And oftentimes, they're overwhelmed by sadness or by fear, which just paralyzes them. You know, this whole self-doubt really limits their effectiveness, and again, it further reinforces this vicious cycle, which lessens their self-esteem further. And of course, it creates great anger and frustration, and this results oftentimes in relationship upsets. And the more that we're in conflict with others, the more we lack joy and fulfillment. The more we retreat, we become shy and uncomfortable, and we blame others for no particular reason, but only because we're angry at the world. We're angry at ourselves, and we transfer that anger to other people. It's really about being mad at the world because we're in this constant upset. And for many, it's a low-grade upset where it's just beneath the surface, but it's constantly a feeling of being angry. It's constantly a feeling of not being at peace or at rest. We find ourselves oftentimes in arguments. We find ourselves reacting to what people say and do. We find ourselves attached to the behavior of others. And so it all comes across as a feeling of a lack of peace in one's life. And of course, this lack of peace spreads from people to families to groups and organizations to political movements to countries. So it's really pervasive in all areas of our life. Possessing high self-esteem and supporting others to possess that high self-esteem is the most important thing that we can do to increase the likelihood of peace in our world. Because those who have high self-esteem, they're happy, they're fulfilled, they seek mutuality with others. They strive to build harmony and to build relationships rather than to tear them down. They know that there's abundance in the world and that there's plenty to go around, so that they need not be in competition for the scarce resources that are around there. So they don't need to fight people. They don't need to engage in illegal or illicit behavior. They don't need to start fights or wars on a large scale. They're confident that their ability to produce a result is there so that they don't have to resort to disruptive behaviors that produce the disharmony. And these behaviors like manipulation, repression, competition for scarce resources, dominating others in an effect to avoid being dominated, all of those things are unnecessary for someone who feels good about who they are. Now, the secret to achieving high self-esteem is really to complete and to heal your past, so that you can free yourself up from the nagging thoughts of being unlovable or of being unworthy or not good enough. And this completion process also involves forgiving not only yourself, but forgiving others. You forgive yourself for not being perfect, and you forgive others for any hurtful behaviors, for any things that they did that made you feel less than or unworthy or unlovable, whatever pain they caused you. And of course, loving yourself and focusing on those things that you do well, your gifts, your strengths, as a unique and lovable, worthy individual is really the exit out of that continual cycle of low self-esteem and destructive behavior that furthers that feeling that you're not good enough. Once our energy is no longer being consumed by these nagging past hurts, we can then properly assess our present state of affairs to analyze what's working in our lives and to do more of that, and to analyze what's missing that would move our lives forward powerfully. We can then design a future and a vision for that future that inspires us to live boldly and with passion and free from regrets and self-doubt and the resignation that kills so many of our lives. When you're confident about your self-worth, you're excited about living your life. You know that you can live in choice and you can have a positive expectation for both happiness and fulfillment, that you'll be able to develop rich and close relationships, and you'll be able to achieve success and abundance in your life. The work that we do at the Center for Personal Reinvention really supports people to uncover their source of lack of self-esteem so that we get to the bottom of why people feel poorly about themselves. We support them to complete their past and to stop the downward spiral of self-sabotage that not only brings about the lack of self-esteem but makes it worse and worse through every subsequent interaction with another person in another situation. We show people how they can replace negative messages about who they are with new core beliefs that actually support their happiness and their relationships and their excellence in the world. We support people to realize the secret to reclaiming their personal power so that anyone can reinvent their lives and lead a positive, fulfilling, self-actualized life that's in harmony with others. We oftentimes are able to show people how they can be strong and authentic, where they need not react to other people. They need not fear being weak or being taken advantage of. In fact, they can use their vulnerability, and they can have that vulnerability as a source of their power, so they can show their heart. They don't have to keep that mask or that hard exterior to prevent other people from hurting them, because they now realize that only they can hurt themselves. We also support people to design a new self-image that supports their magnificence. One of the things that I love to do is to support people to realize the power of forgiveness. We support people to look at forgiving as thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn and to grow. We support people to put themselves in the other person's world and to actually see what would it be like in this person's world to say or do what they said in such a way that we can have empathy for why people act as they do instead of resenting them and hating them for it. We support people to discover the secret, really, to that upset-free life that's the goal of everyone on this planet, where you can live in choice, you can see that you're totally in charge of your own emotional response to any situation or whatever someone says or does in such a way that you need not react to someone else's issues. You need not react angrily to anger. You need not react hatefully to hate. You need not react to those who wish to dominate you by trying to dominate them and creating this vicious cycle which just pits one person against another. We also can establish our worth and reinvent ourselves to be our best by creating a vision for a life of no regrets, a life where we can actually be proud of what we do and know that we have the ability to move our lives forward in such a way that we can generate rich relationships, we can be in harmony with those that we meet, we can actually inspire people to be their best and know that we can impact their lives once we have our own issues handled. I wrote the self-esteem book in order to support people to elevate their own self-esteem and feel good about who they are. And when you can feel good about who you are, you have the ability to create rich and fulfilling relationships that promote harmony, peaceful coexistence in the world, and actually support others to feel good about themselves as well. My vision is actually to impact the lives of 20 million people to feel good about who they are, to have high self-esteem, and to operate their lives from the perspective of passion, for being passionate about every day, to love themselves and to love others, and to operate from a commitment to making the world a better place that serves people, a commitment to go out and to spread love and hope and mutuality in the world, as opposed to looking for what's wrong, looking for things that divide us, looking for ways in which we can invalidate ourselves and take others out because we feel as though we're in competition with them. I invite you to join me in this vision by sharing this possibility with everyone that you know and by championing them to elevate their own self-image so as to spread love and harmony throughout the world. This is Dr. Joe Rubino, author of theselfesteembook.com, CEO of the Center for Personal Reinvention, and I wish you harmony, peace, love, and high self-esteem. Have a great day.